1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look there with me tonight. 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I guess, apprehensive last night and this morning because I had coughed. And I thought, what in the world is going to happen? But the Lord helped us this morning to not go into any coughing spasms. And we sound a little raspy, I know. Let's read here in 1 Corinthians 16 and we'll start reading with verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I do this sometimes. I read between the lines in the Scripture. And I know we're not to add to the Scripture, but sometimes when you read, you can kind of get the sense of how that the writer is feeling. Now, here's my perception. I feel like that the Apostle Paul, he's wanting to go and be with his friends. He's wanting to rest a little while. He's wanting to relax a little while and, just take a little. He wanted to winter with them and relax with them and have a little time free of all of the responsibility and all that he had been doing for years and years as far as preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to stay in Ephesus. And while I'm here, I'm going to see God move in a wonderful way. And he describes it by saying, there is this great and effectual door that's open to me, but there are many adversaries. Opportunities and opposition, they come together. Two words that start with the same, begin with the same letters, and oftentimes they follow the same exact track. Opposition and opportunity, or opportunities and opposition. It's just the way that it is in the kingdom of God. I was reading this little account of this preacher who actually became a great pastor and a missionary in mid-1800s. His name was J.H. Crowell. When he was 16 years old, he sailed on a shipping vessel where he was the only Christian in the crew of 12. Before leaving, now notice he's 16 years old. Before leaving his mother, he promised to meet her 3 times a day at the throne of God. Well, he just said, Mom, we'll have certain hours of the day, and you just know that at that time I'll be praying and you be praying at the same time. And he said, we'll meet at the throne of God. So regularly, he went below the deck and prayed loud. He thought that he must. His fellow sailors mocked him, threw wood at him, poured buckets of water over him, but could not put out the fire in his soul. They tied him to the mast. They whipped him. Still, he prayed. Finally, they tied a rope around his body, threw him overboard. He swam as best he could, and when he took hold of the side of the ship, they would push him off with a pole. At last, his strength gave way, and it was certain that he was going to die, and he prayed that God would forgive them and called out to them, send my body to my mother and tell her that I died for Jesus. They finally pulled him on deck and left him for dead, but miraculously he regained consciousness, but conviction fell on that boat. Two sailors were saved by nightfall, converted, gloriously converted. And within 1 week, everyone on board, including the captain, was saved. Praise God. Now, the miraculous thing that took place there, of course, it was miraculous that they got saved, or that the whole crew got saved. But what really stands out to me in a story like that, and I confirmed that this was a true story, and looked up some about this man's life and where he pastored and the work that he'd done, missionary work that he did. But what's really amazing to me is that a 16-year-old boy with that level of commitment, because it's hard to find not a 16-year-old, but a 26 or a 46 or a 76-year-old person with that level of commitment. This was a young person who was just committed to prayer, committed to his place and to his calling to do what he needed to do. And I don't know exactly why that I'm feeling this direction here tonight, but I really do believe with all of my heart that God has set before us, right here, you and me, some real opportunities. Real opportunities. And the greatest opportunity is to reach people for Christ. And there's numbers of people within our reach that need the Lord. And we can see it only as an opportunity, but it's not going to happen unless we are willing to make a commitment. We need to try to come up a little closer to the level of this 16-year-old boy's commitment to do what the Lord would have us to do, to influence people for God, no matter what it cost us. But if you're going to set out to do that, then you'll have to realize that all opportunities come with opposition. It's just the way that it is in the kingdom of God. Amen. It just happens that whenever you have an opportunity to be something, to do something, to move forward in the work of the Lord, the scripture that we read for you there, a great and effectual door is opened unto me. Now, this is a worn out preacher, a worn out missionary. He's looking at Ephesus as a great opportunity. And this is where the goddess Diana was. This was a place that was filled with idolatry. This was a place where all kinds of horrible pagan things took place under the guise of worship and religion. The whole city was really pretty much consumed with idolatry. But he did not see it as an overwhelming task or an impossible task. He saw it as a great door. Amen. He saw it as a great opportunity. It was great. It was large in scope. The city was this massive city with great population. As a matter of fact, he spent 3 years there in ministry. Not only was a powerful church established in Ephesus, but many regions out beyond, just around Ephesus, also were affected. And Ephesus became like an evangelism center as they were going out again and again and again from Ephesus. And so it truly was a great door. It was an effectual door, speaking of great potential that there was and great opportunity. I mentioned this morning that the word opportunity comes from the root that means toward the port, or launching out, setting your sails to move out in the plan of God. It's not always an easy thing. Usually, it's a very difficult and a challenging thing to move out and to do what God would have you to do. But it's always the right thing to do. Amen. But don't be caught off guard if you attempt to step out to do something for the Lord, if you're not gonna be faced with discouragement, opposition. You'll have trouble. You'll have problems. There'll be things that will come your way. And the Apostle Paul, it was all as if he was saying, I know there's going to be opposition. There's always going to be the adversary who's going to come against us and try to stop us from moving forward. All throughout the scripture, a door is really a sign. It's a metaphor for opportunity. Amen. An opportunity to step out and to do something. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Just another good opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And to the Colossians, he said, pray for us that God would open to us a door of utterance or an opportunity to preach the gospel. And then in Revelation chapter 3, I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. Glory to God. And we've got some opportunities right here at First Pentecostal Church. We have some potential. We really do. We have some wonderful opportunities that the Lord has given to us, and He gives to us week after week. But I believe that it's really an easy thing to just kind of settle in, set back, and expect, well, hope that someone will make things happen. But I think that all of us need to collectively understand that the door is open. It's there before us, but every one of us are going to have to walk through it. Every one of us, we're going to have to pray. Every one of us, we're going to have to work. Every one of us, we're going to have to preach the gospel. We're going to have to become witnesses every day of our life, welcoming people, talking to people about the Lord, and see it as an opportunity to do what the Lord has placed us here to do. Amen. A move of God where people are gathering in and we're experiencing the move and the touch of the Spirit of God right here in this place. God wants to raise up people that have some strength of courage and conviction, and that we're willing to step out even though that there may be some opposition. Of course there will be. What do you expect? You expect that the devil's just going to congratulate you or cheer you on if you start seeing some things happening. When we, some years after we were pastoring in Oklahoma, we were getting ready to do an expansion, build a new building on that was going to be a school building and going to give us more opportunities, Sunday school rooms and such as that. And so we had a big deal, had a big dinner, and had a big meeting to announce what was going to happen, and asking everybody to get on board. And we made our presentation, and everything went so good, and I was encouraged. It seemed like everybody was really encouraged. And then after the meeting was over, one of the young couples came to me and said, "Could we talk with you?" Sure. I thought that they were getting ready to volunteer for one of the big tasks that needed to be taken care of. But they came, and then another couple came with them. It was actually brother and sister and their wives. And they came, and they met with my wife and I in the office, and we were way up here. I mean, we were high. We were thinking, this is going to be wonderful. God's getting ready to do some big, wonderful things. And they had it planned, and I guess I don't believe that they had ill intentions necessarily at their timing, but if they wanted to let the air out of the balloon, they picked the perfect time to do it. And that's exactly what they did, because some of their family were in a church on the other side of town, and they said, well, we've just decided that they need us over there so bad that we're going to leave here and we're going to go to another. They were musicians. They were the Sunday school superintendent. They were people in the church that we depended upon. And here I am riding high thinking we're going to move forward and God's really going to do something wonderful and great. And then we got hit with the opposition. I can't tell you the times that things like that have happened. When you attempt to step out and to do something for God, get ready. The devil doesn't like it, and he's going to put you to the test. He's going to oppose you, and it just comes hand in hand. It always happens in the kingdom of God. Whenever you step out in opportunity that God gives to you, you will meet with opposition. The enemy hates it. He despises any effort to walk through open doors and of ministry and to see things accomplished for the glory of God. Amen. But when God opens the door, you can expect that Satan is going to try to shut it, and he's going to try to stop it. Now, the continuation of that story was that after I got over my deflated spirit, it took me a few days. I realized that, if this was God's plan, then it's not going to be stopped by decision that a couple of other people make. And so if it's God's plan, we're going to move forward. And we just did. And we plugged along, and it seemed like it was such a challenge. It was like everything shut down. There was no opportunity. There was no money. We couldn't get anything accomplished that we needed to accomplish. And we actually had the floor, just the cement floor, poured for the building, and we had no money to proceed. Of course, we did things there like we've done here all along, and that is we just didn't want to borrow any money. We're trusting God to supply. And I can go in a big lengthy story to tell you how that God raised up people not only to supply the additional funds, but God helped us little by little. And within about 2.5 years, that building was built debt-free. The school opened up, and God has blessed and helped. And that when we left there to come here, everything was paid for, not one dime owed. God had supplied the money. God had worked in that situation. And just be assured that if there is an open door that God has given to us, an effort to reach people for the kingdom of God, that you're going to face the devil face head on, and he will try to stop you. But remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, that this struggle, this battle is not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus himself faced the opposition of the religious rulers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. They opposed him from almost the very beginning. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to defame him. And all throughout his public ministry, he was dealing not only with open doors and the work of the kingdom of God, but he was facing the challenge of opposition in the short ministry time that he had. The same thing is true in the book of Acts. When you read chapter 1, 2, and 3, you think, this is just wonderful. And such a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 souls saved on the day of Pentecost. Then in chapter 3, the wonderful miracle of that impotent man there laid at the gate, beautiful, and things are going wonderful. God is moving until chapter 4. And then there's trouble. Some of the apostles are thrown in jail. They're thrown into prison. They're brought before to be examined from the religious leaders. And they stood up boldly and defended themselves. And it says in chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Amen. So ultimately, they were winning the battle. They were moving forward. Sure, there was opposition, and there will be opposition. And I know you've experienced it. We've all experienced it in life. You just attempt to move forward and make a commitment in your prayer life, or you make a commitment in any area of your life to get closer to God and to move forward in the things of God, and you're going to find the old enemy trying to stop you, trying to discourage you. I've just got to tell this story. I don't know if it fits that well or not, but it's sometimes a challenge even to give, to bring your tithes and your offerings. Well, my little grandson, Aiden, over the Christmas holidays, he got different ones gave him money. And he really likes money. He loves money. And he holds on to his money really close. He must be somewhat like his great-grandpa. And so he had accumulated. accumulated $60. Well, Dustin said to him one day, "Now you know, Aiden, that whenever God blesses you and prospers you, that you are supposed to pay your tithe." And he said, "Well, what is that? What does that mean?" He said, "Well, that means that you got $60 and God has blessed you with $60. And so you need to give $6 of it to God." Well, they said that he just bowed his head and began to cry. And he said, "I don't want to give to God." I think a lot of us may have that trouble sometimes, struggling when it comes to a commitment that we need to make to the Lord. God gives us all kinds of opportunities, doesn't he? But be sure that there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be opposition. Amen. The enemy's going to do his best to stop what God, that those things that God has put in your heart, the vision that he's placed in your heart, the enemy wants to try to stop that and discourage you. And many times he's successful. Just one effort of opposition, and a lot of times folks just give up. Lord, give us the tenacity of this 16-year-old boy who would not give up his commitment to God, but just remained true to the Lord, and as a result, affected everyone on the ship. Amen. The church was so affected in the book of Acts, there was persecution and opposition. And we know that persecution historically in the church, in missions, has always been, instead of stopping it, it may hinder it for a moment. But really what persecution would do is it would put the pressure on, and it would scatter the people, and they would go forth preaching the gospel, and instead of the gospel being stopped, the persecution and the pressure would just send them forth into places that they would have never gone before, preaching the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. Amen. So whatever you're dealing with, if you're up against some situation and you feel like you're being opposed by the enemy and you can't see any victory and you can't move forward in the areas of life, God's got a plan. And you may not see it or understand it, but because you're his child, if he puts the vision and the desire in your heart, he's got a plan. He'll bring it to pass. He'll fulfill it. And the pressures, the opposition, the persecution, it won't hinder. It'll further. It'll better things. Remember the story of Brother Royce Roy, who ran out of money and couldn't build the Bible college there in Sierra Leone, West Africa? He just barely had enough money to get the mud blocks built, made. They made them by hand. And just set them out in the yard in the sun. Normally they would cure them for just a little while, but years went by. I can't remember how many. Several years, three, four, maybe more years went by. And when he went to build, finally, when the funds came and he went to build the Bible school, those blocks had cured in that sun, and they were the strongest blocks they had ever seen, and the construction people had ever used before, and the building was so much better and so much stronger than it would have been. Amen. Sometimes we are under the pressure and the persecutions of the enemy. Well, I don't want you to be discouraged by that. Be encouraged by that. Because if you are moving forward in opportunity and Satan is trying to stop that with opposition, then you can be sure you're on the right track. You're doing the will of God. If you're not having any trouble with the devil, then it could be that you're not really moving in the direction that you should be going. It's really evidence that you are in the will of God. I know that the modern church today says, you know, if you get saved and come to the Lord and everything's going to go your way, you're never going to have any troubles. That's just not the truth. Just the opposite is true. When you get saved and you begin to live for the Lord, you're going to find yourself in trouble, in opposition, sometimes even in persecution, in all kinds of different struggles. But be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. You're moving in the way, the will of God to accomplish those things. Even the Apostle Paul, after he was in prison and wrote several of the epistles from jail, all of those prison writings, they just had a special quality about them because of where he was writing from. But not only that, the Apostle Paul wasn't discouraged. He could have said, well, I'm called to be an apostle and I should be out of here traveling and preaching all over the world and proclaiming the gospel. But instead, he says in Philippians 1 and 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, he's talking about his imprisonment, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out or turned out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. You know, he was under house arrest. He wasn't necessarily in a prison cell. Most of the time he was under house arrest. And so he had opportunities to meander around and be in different parts of the palace. Because it says, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. So he said, listen, I may be imprisoned, but my circumstance is not stopping the gospel. Amen. I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm in this prison experience right now, and my bonds have put me in a palace, and I'm able to preach to emperors and to soldiers and captains and leaders of the army and all kinds of people who are in the palace and in this general area of influence. I have been placed here so that the gospel and Christ can be manifest in this place. Amen. And not only that, he said, all the other brothers who've seen what God is doing in my situation, in my life, through this imprisonment, they've got more confident and more bold, and they're in faith, and they're able to preach with a greater boldness without fear. Amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy has thrown your way. Opportunity will bring opposition. Amen. You will have opposition. You want to do something for God, you try, you step out, wham, you get head on with trouble, discouragement, hindrances, problems. Well, just rejoice when that happens. Thank God, I'm on the right track. I don't know how you're going to work this all out, God, but I'm thanking you, Lord, that I'm moving in the direction of your purpose and your will, because this is just what happens to people who are in the kingdom of God. They're put to the test. They're proven, they're tried, and sometimes even persecuted. But in all of this, your name is glorified, and the gospel is furthered. Hallelujah. Praise God. What kind of doors are open to us? There's some wonderful doors that are open to us in the city of London in Laurel County. While I know there are lots of other churches and a lot of wonderful Christian people, we've got a great door, great opportunities that are before us here that we need to step forward and reach some folks for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Over the last months, there have been more and more opportunities, doors that have opened, people that we've come in contact with. I believe that the Lord is wanting you and me as a church, as a body, collectively, to stand up and to begin to move into areas that we've never moved in before, to step out and do some things for God we've never done before. And by that, I mean new things, fresh things that God wants us to do. We need to get this vision from the Lord and begin to say yes to the Lord, and all of us working together to build the kingdom of God. Amen. But I wanted to present this tonight so that when and if and for sure when the opposition comes, that you can say, praise God. Amen. Moving in the way we need to go. We're moving forward in the favor and the blessing of the Lord, because that's just the way it is in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone has said that the difference between a pessimist and an optimist is that a pessimist sees a problem in every opportunity, But an optimist sees an opportunity in every problem. Amen. Glory to God. Sure, there's problems. There are many needs. There are challenges that are all around us. But be encouraged tonight, because God has given us open doors, opportunities. And he'll confirm that by opposition and a struggle. But be full of faith and move forward, doing the things that the Lord is asking us to do. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to our hearts. And Lord, that there are many here that they have a calling upon their life. They have a ministry that they need to step into. They have a work for God that you would have them to fulfill. And Lord, I just ask that you would cause us to be full of faith and confidence. And Lord, that no matter what the enemy throws our way, that we will have such a level of commitment to your purpose and your will, that we will not be stopped. But God's message and the glory of the Lord would be manifested, Lord, in our lives and in our church, in spite of anything that Satan would try to do. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand together. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his blessing in our life. The purpose of God being revealed in us, in our life. The call of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're with us today. Lord, and there are great things that you are wanting to do. Lord, help us to not be weary. Help us not to give up or to lose sight of what you are wanting to do. But Lord, help us to be full of faith. Help us to be willing, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, and to move forward in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to ask here tonight, before everybody comes to pray, maybe there's some of you here tonight that you really have in your heart a desire to work for God and to be used of the Lord, but all around you, you cannot see how it can happen. You cannot see. It's all struggle, opposition in every direction. Amen. But you want to believe God. You want to step out in faith here tonight. Before we all come, why don't you come? Amen. Amen. As just a step of faith. You want to do something for the Lord. God's put it in your heart. Let me tell you, he can make a way. He can work in your life, in your need, whatever that it might be. Would you be willing to step out as a statement of your confidence in God? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Would you come, everybody? Let's gather in here to these altars here tonight. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, what part am I going to play? What is my place? What is my gift? What is my calling? Well, how do you want to use me? Lord, and give us strength and courage, Lord, to commit ourselves to your will, your purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.